Proverbs 29. Proverbs chapter 29. And then we're going to read some scripture in the book of Matthew chapter 14. Proverbs 29. And then Matthew 14. Now I want to say tonight that I want everybody to be seated and still and stay there tonight. I really do hate to keep mentioning that, but we just had entirely too much getting up and down, especially by young folks. And so the only people I want to see get up tonight, you listening, is if a mother has an emergency, and we're hoping to do something about that pretty soon. It's very, very distractive to someone in the back. And it's very rude. And so we don't want anybody getting up during the service. Stay still. And young folks, we've been good to you. We give you a lot of rope in the last couple of years. But if we have to, we're going to make you start sitting with your parents, every one of you. Now, I believe, here's the way I tell the teenagers. I say, if you'll act like a grown-up, we'll treat you like a grown-up. That's fair enough. If you act like a kid, we'll treat you like a kid. And I think that's fair, don't you? Amen. And so if you'll act like a grown-up, we'll treat you like one. If you don't, we're going to put you up here beside your mamas. And I mean that. And so I want you to be quiet and no talking, no moving around during the service. Proverbs 29 and Matthew 14. Look at Proverbs 29, verse 25. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You look at it, verse 25, read it again. The fear of man, when you're afraid of people, bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Matthew 14, verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus. This is King Herod, and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He was wrong there. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John, and bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. Now, if you don't know this story, let me stop and explain. King Herod was shacking up with his brother's wife. Her name was Herodias. His brother's name was Philip. He was shacking up with his brother's wife. And she got mad at John the Baptist for preaching to her about her sins. And she had him killed. Now, look at verse 4. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them. This little girl came in and danced in front of the king and done a belly dance and pleased Herod. And he's about half drunk, and look what he said in verse 7. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. Now, we'll stop right there and read again in a minute. In the other gospel, where it comments on this story, he said he promised with an oath to give her whatever she wanted, even unto the half of the kingdom. I asked a little Sunday school girl one time, said, what would you have done if you'd have been Herod and found out you'd made an oath like that? And she asked John's head, and she said, well, I'd have given him the half of the kingdom that John wasn't in. But that's he feared the multitude and made this oath, and it got him in trouble. And verse 8 says, and she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist, head in a charger. That's a platter. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel. And she brought it to her mother, and his disciples came and took up the body with no head on it and buried it and went and told Jesus. Proverbs 29 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. If there's ever a man that fit that verse, King Herod, he was one of the sorriest excuses for a man that you'll find anywhere in the Bible. I thought this title of this message might be the fear of man, or I thought it might be the man who feared everything but God. The man who feared everything but God. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You for our health and our strength. Thank You for all the many, 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 many blessings, God, that You've given us. Lord, we didn't deserve a one of them. We thank You for them tonight. Thank You, Lord, for this church. Thank You for what it means to us and thousands of other people. Thank You, Lord, that You died for us one day while we were yet in our sins. You loved us when we didn't love You. I thank You, Lord, tonight that we're able to walk in those doors back there. God, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God will come in this place tonight and do what needs to be done in every heart, every life, and every mind, and every soul, and every body. God, I pray tonight for those that are here tonight whose life's in a mess. Dear Lord, that You'd speak to them. Help them to fear God and not man. And whatever You do for us, we'll praise You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you about this man Herod tonight and use as a thought verse, the fear of man bringeth a snare. This verse is a bomb. This verse in Proverbs 29:25 is one of those verses that just fall like a crushing blow upon a pile of sticks. It's a bomb. There's so much in it that we wouldn't even be able to cover the Bible stories tonight that is represented here in this verse. And my desire is for this message is for you as a Christian tonight to quit fearing man and start fearing God. You'll never do anything for God as long as you're more scared of people than you are the Lord. Now, a man that fears man won't serve God. And a man that fears God won't serve man. You got to make up your mind who you're going to live for tonight. There's a lot of you people in here tonight, probably, you would do a lot more for the Lord, but you're afraid of somebody and you won't do it. You're afraid of your reputation. You're afraid it might cost you your job. You're afraid of what it might do for you or to you. And you're scared. And you're scared to step out and really serve God. Here a while back we was witnessing to a fellow here in this town. And this fellow was a professional in his business. And this fellow was under conviction. And God was dealing with him. And he'd come to church and he'd sit here on these pews. And I'd get up and preach. And he'd sit there and he'd almost shake. And then we'd have another service, and I'd get up and preach, and he'd sit there and just stare at the floor. And I talked to him, and he was impressed with the church, and the Holy Ghost was dealing with him, and God was moving on his heart. But I tell you what began to come in. He began to get worried about what people might say. He began to get a little scared, maybe, about what somebody might think about him. And that fellow got shook off that conviction. And as far as I know tonight, the Lord's not even dealing with him. He don't even care that much about eternity. It's a dangerous thing to fear people more than you fear God. Now I tell you in the Bible, fear causes Pilate to reject Christ. Fear causes the Pharisees to lie about light in Matthew 21. Fear causes Adam to lie to God and hide from the Lord. Fear caused Abraham to lie about his wife in Genesis chapter number 12. Fear caused David to act like a fool and slobber down his jaws, you know, over there in 1 Samuel 21. The fear of man causes 1,000 sins. The fear of man is what causes junior high and high school students to be afraid to step out and serve God. You know, the fear of man will get you in more trouble in one Friday night than probably all the fishing trips you ever been on. That's where people get in trouble. You get out with a crowd, you get afraid not to be like they are. I remember people going out, you know, and they used to tell us, these boys, they'd go out and they'd say, "Will you drink a beer?" And a young boy would say, "No, I ain't gonna touch that stuff." And they'd say, "What's the matter, you chicken?" Well, what he don't realize is, it takes a greater man, it takes a lot more nerve to say no than it does say yes. Most people are more scared of their friends than they are the beer can, and they're more afraid of God, and so they're a chicken and go ahead and give in and drink it. Any old sissy can do what everybody else does, but brother, it takes a fear of God greater than a fear of man. Now, a fear of dirt is called mesophobia. Fear of water, hydrophobia. Fear of darkness, nyctophobia. Fear of blood, hematophobia. The fear of the dead, necrophobia. High places, acrophobia. Pain, allophobia. The fear of close places, claustrophobia. The fear of light is called photophobia. The fear of little things, microphobia. And the fear of man is called anthropophobia. The fear of man does more damage than the fear of all those things. And a lot of people are living today in constant fear. Ann Landers, and I don't, you know, bless her heart, I guess she does all right. But listen, and to know no more than she does. But bless her heart, you know what she says? She says that about a great majority of the people who write to her say their biggest problem is fear. Their biggest problem. They're afraid of losing their health. They're afraid they're going to get cancer. They're afraid they're going to lose their job or their loved ones. They're afraid of the future. And many of them are afraid of life itself. Fear has a lot of people in bondage tonight. And if you're able to live the victory tonight and live without fear, and perfect love does cast out all fear, brother, you know what it's like to be a victorious Christian. Most people that you know tonight live in constant fear of something. These politicians are probably the worst in the world. They stay scared to death all the time. They run around like this. And they made this group mad and they got over here and apologize. And they made this group and they got to run over here and apologize and do this. Man, them poor people are pitiful. Those politicians, they live a life of fear. They're afraid the Democrats are going to get mad at them. They're afraid the Republicans are going to get mad at them. The fear of man. If you want to do a good study in the fear of man, watch them politicians, brother. They're a perfect example. You've heard me tell that story over and over and over. And it illustrates it so good. I hadn't thought about it today until just now. And I remember hearing that story about how that politician down there in Florida was up making a speech before the election. And they had a lot of issues coming up in the election that year. And they was wondering how it was going to go. And they wanted to know how the candidates stood on certain issues. And they were going to pass a squirrel law down there about where you could shoot so many squirrels and you couldn't shoot so many on certain days and stuff like that. And that politician got up and everybody was anxious to hear what he was going to say about the squirrel law. And he got up and made a great speech and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, in view of the recent desire of our county to consider ratification of the squirrel law proposed in this great county," you know how they do, "in these days, after deep consideration and after an examining of all the facts which I can possibly accumulate through my office, and after seeming circumstances and examining all the evidence available, I have come to the conclusion that half of my friends do oppose the squirrel law and will not support its ratification. However, on the other hand, after much consideration and study, I have found that the other half of my friends are in favor." What does that mean? Oh, are they for it or against it? Oh, okay. Are in favor of the squirrel law and will support its ready. I've been preaching for about 20-something days. All these messages are getting tangled up in my head. But anyway, he said, half my friends are against it. Half of my friends are for it. And he said, "And I feel the best of my judgment and my opinion on this matter, which concerns all of the great citizens of this county, after much consideration and examining of all the facts, I have decided that I will position my stand with my friends." Now, you know what he said? He didn't say one cotton-picking thing. Now, you know, have you ever noticed you can listen to a politician make a speech for 20 minutes and you don't know what he said when he got through? That's weird. You know what? I keep sitting there, every time I can't stand to hear a president give a speech or something. I keep sitting there saying, "Well, say something. And he's sitting there, we feel this. I just say, "It's this way, it's that way, yes, no, black, white, up, down, heaven, hell." I mean, I like it plain, where you can understand it. But they just beat around the bush. I about scream when I hear it. I tell you, you know what makes a person act like that? The fear of man. And brother, you know what? You know the average preacher in the average pulpit sounds just like that today? They sound like a little parakeet, man. They don't want to hurt this crowd, and they don't want to hurt that crowd, and they don't want to make this group mad, and that fellow yonder gives $100 a week, so they don't want to hurt his feelings. I tell you what, I made up my mind, before I'll please you, before I'll bow down to what anybody in this church wants me to do, I'll make y'all mad and run you off, and we won't have a headache of building a new church. I will not let you sit there and tell me what I can preach and what I can't. I'd rather just quit before I do that. I've been to churches where a guy got up and went.
He sounds like a parakeet, brother. And he's get up and he sounds like a politician. When I go to church, I want to hear preaching, don't you? I mean, brother, I want to hear preaching. I want to hear them stomp my toes and spit in my face and brother muss up my hair. I want to hear a man tell me about the judgment day and heaven and hell. The fear of man bringeth a snare. I picture it like this. Here we go down the road of life. Here I go. Here Dickie goes. Here Jamie goes. Here Bobby goes. Here Brother Dale goes. And we're going like this. The devil's got snares. And it's kind of like those traps out there that hunters set, and they're like a big jaws. And weaver steps in on those jaws and go, boom, and bite down on that beaver's leg. That's the way I picture a snare. Now the devil's got snares for you kids at school. He's got them on your job. He's got them in your home. And when you get afraid of a man, you'll get your feet in one of them snares. And if you get in one of them snares, you can't go on for God. You'll be hung in that snare. But I'm telling you tonight, it brings a snare, fear man does. And Herod, the man we're going to talk about tonight, is a perfect example of the fear of man. Herod, you ever heard the old expression, he's scared of his shadow? That's the way I picture Herod. Lord, help that big baby. He was a king. He was a king. He was a king. But you know people like I'm talking about. I remember when I was little, I used to watch Lost in Space. And I don't know how many of you used to watch that. Man, I loved that. And during the summertime, now you're going to think this is awful. But during the summertime, it came on Wednesday night, I believe. And we didn't go to church. And I'd get me a Pepsi about that. It didn't make him big as that back then, but it looked that tall to me then. And I'd get some potted meat. And soda crackers. And I put that potted meat on them soda crackers. Since I found out what that stuff is made out of, I just don't like it as good as I did. They said, I don't know if it's true or not. Them boys might have been lying to me, but they said it was horse lips. And cow tongues. That's right. Whatever's left. Eyeballs, man. Really. I mean, guts. And boy, they take all the guts out of what's left at the slaughter pen and that bologna. And potted meat. And amen. Bologna is round ham. That's preacher's steak. But anyway, I still like potted meat. I don't like it as good as I did then. I'd make me a big stack of them things. I'd sit there and I'd watch Lost in Space. And there's a sickness character on there. I hated him. I'd want to choke him. And his name was Dr. Smith. You remember Dr. Smith? Oh, he was sickening. I couldn't stand that guy. And as though Dr. Smith, he was scared of his shadow. The robot come up. I've got what that robot's name. He'd just come up and go, he'd go like this. Somebody come, hoo! And he's always afraid he is going to get hurt. And he wound up getting hurt more than any of them. He was scared of his shadow. That's the way I picture old King Herod. Lord, that's a pitiful excuse for a man, brother. I tell you, brother, we need some people, men of God these days, that don't fear the face of man. Amen. I tell you, brother, that's what I need. That's what we need. We need a good old dose of fearing God more than we fear people. Fearing man will cause you to compromise. Fearing man will cause you to not to witness. Fearing man will cause you not to stand for Jesus. It'll do it. And we need to fear God. First thing I want to say about Herod tonight, he feared the multitude. He feared the multitude. In Matthew 14 and verse 5, the Bible said when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude. You know what? Herod was going to have John put to death, and he didn't want to, but he feared the multitude. He was afraid of what the crowd would say about him. I believe that's a terrible thing. He was afraid of a majority of the people. You'll never do anything for God if you're afraid of the crowd. I never preached on the street in my life if I'd have been afraid of the crowd. And by the way, I was afraid of the crowd, but I was afraid of God more, and that's what made me do it. You'll never be a witness. You'll never go on visitation. You must be willing to go up against them. You must be willing to take on the crowd. You must say, God in me is a majority. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God, if God be for us, who can be against us? And go against the crowd. I know that the people you work with tonight, most of you people work with individuals who are anti-God. They're anti-Bible, they're anti-Christ, they're anti-church, they're anti-righteousness. Now, if you're afraid of them more than you fear God, you're going to give in and live like they want you to live instead of the way God wants you to live. You fear the multitude. Don't be a miserable soul all your life, man. Quit being afraid of people. Stand up, I dare you. Stand up and be different for God. I never will forget the first time I ever preached uptown. Lord, I was scared to death. I'll tell you, we was up there and there was a bunch of group up there preaching one day. That was back when Roses was in town and Sky City wasn't built. And some of these places, and you know, Marion had some business. And there's a lot of people went uptown on Saturdays. They wasn't nowhere else to go. And so they go uptown on Saturdays. And I went up there, boy, and the first time I preached on the street, I felt a lump in my throat. It felt like it was that big around. I was scared. Oh, my soul. Now, then, get your seat, boys. And I want nobody else getting up. You hear? Amen. Okay. They feared the multitude. And boy, I got up there that day. And I got up there that day, and man, I began to look out there, and my heart went boom, 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 boom. And I looked out there, and I was kind of got dizzy. And it looked like a street, you know. I said, by the grace of God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I'd done a lot of things. I drove cars fast on the wrong side of the road and past people and come up interstate. I'd done a lot of things. But, you know, it didn't take near the courage that it took to stand up there and preach on that street. Oh, man. I tell you, brother, you hear a lot about these evil Knievel and people like that going to jump the Grand Canyon. Everybody talks about how brave they are. No, they ain't brave. They're stupid. There's a difference between being brave and being ignorant, brother. I mean, being brave is when you're scared to do something and make yourself go ahead and do it anyway. If you ain't scared, you ain't courageous. You don't take no courage if you ain't scared. I mean, you got to be scared and overcome your fear. And so, brother, he feared the multitude. Listen, the crowd will never put their approval on what you do. There's some of you here tonight, you'd really go full steam for God, but you're afraid of the multitude. Isn't it amazing how the world reacts to us? Isn't it amazing? I don't know if you people realize this or not, but half of McDowell County is watching us. I never dreamed. I can't go nowhere around what somebody say. Boy, I seen what you was doing down there, and this and that, and that and that and the other. And somebody said, and I say, man, what do y'all do? Ride down the road and watch what we're doing? And you ain't going to believe this, but there are some people in here in this town that don't like me. Really? Ain't that pitiful? Now, I know that's hard for you to believe. But, brother, it's true. They really don't. They hate me, to be honest with you. You wouldn't believe the phone calls I get. And people just rake me over the cold, brother. I mean, blah, blah, blah. Some woman called me up not long ago. I was telling about it last night. Man, she giving me down the road. Boy, she's saying, you do Danny Castle, blah, blah. And she's mad at me because I preach against homosexuals. And she said, well, I'll have you to know. And I made me kind of wonder about her, brother. I tell you, you know what Twisted Sister is, don't you? But I tell you, I began to talk to her. And I said, now, ma'am, she said, blah, 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 I'll have you to know. And I said, but ma'am, and she wouldn't even tell me who she was. And I worry about somebody will call you up and bless you out and won't even tell you who they are. And boy, she called me up and she said, now I'm this, and she named another denomination. And she said, I'm going to heaven. Nobody said she wasn't going to heaven. I mean, she must have felt guilty or something. She said, I'm going to heaven just like you are. And I said, but ma'am, and I was trying to explain. And she went, bam, hung the phone up. I got two in one day like that, brother, in less than an hour. You talk about setting your day off right. That'll do it. You know what's the problem? Listen, I know those people here in this town. Let me tell you something. If they ain't some people hating you, you ain't living for God. Bible, I mean, if you ain't got some good enemies, you ain't living right. You ain't doing right. You're just a compromiser. If everybody likes you, son, you're a hypocrite. I tell you, bro, you've got to take a stand one way or the other. You either get with this crowd or you get with that crowd. Make up your mind who you're going to stand with. Heard about that guy. He's a scaredy cat. Yeah, we always call him scaredy cat. Some people call him fraidy cat. You mean fraidy cat, when his little, they used to call people that? I tell you, brother, he was a fraidy cat. And you know what? He fought in the blue and the red war. And he had him a blue uniform. And when the blues would come up, he'd put on his blue uniform and said, yeah, let's get them, boys. Let's get them. We'll get them red. And then when they'd leave, he'd take off his blue uniform and put on a red one. And when the red come up, he'd say, yeah, let's get them, boys. He's playing both sides of the fence. And it worked out pretty good until the inevitable happened. They both come up the same day. And he didn't get change time, had on his red shirt and blue pants, and they both blowed him full of holes. Now listen, if you won't make your stand with one crowd or another, sooner or later it's going to come out on you. I tell you, brother, you say, well, I'm scared. Well, I stand anyway. The fear of man brings a snare. And that's what old Herod done. You must be willing to go against them. Listen, here's what they say. If a boy will get up at 6 a.m. in the summertime and run a paper route, you know what they say? They say, that's good for him. He's an energetic young man. He's a go-getter. But if the church asks a young boy to get up at 6 a.m. and do something for the glory of God, you know what they'll say? They just expect too much of that boy. A woman can work 8 hours a day on her job, be away from her home and her family, and people say, well, isn't that good? She's a helpful wife. But she'll come up here and work if we ask them to work 8 hours a day for the glory of God, you know what they'd say? They'd say religion's drove her crazy. What I'm saying is this. People ain't going to like it when you stand for the Lord. Listen, folks. If you're waiting on your pastor to win the most popular, well-loved man and Marion award, I'm afraid it's going to be a while. I might get it next year, but I'm afraid this year's shot already. And boy, we really blew it last year when this beer and wine issue came up. And I'm afraid I hurt myself for many years. But you know what? I couldn't care less. It would embarrass me if they gave me that award. I'd be ashamed of it. Bible says, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. I'm telling you, brother, we don't need to listen to the world's opinion about God's Word. A man can give $250 a month for a car and pay $300 a month house payment, and boy, isn't he providing for his family and being a good worker. He can give $50 a month for missions, and he's a brainwashed fanatic and ready for the nut house. Did you know they say old Stalin, the communist, was constantly afraid? He was constantly afraid. Big bad communist boy. I ain't got the doctrine that's going to straighten out the world. Them hypocrites that said religion, like Karl Marx and them, was the opium of the people. And old Stalin, they said he's afraid of his shadow. He was constantly afraid of being poisoned or somebody killing him or assassinating him. And he had 8 bedrooms in his house and slept in a different one every night so they wouldn't know which one he's in. Fraidy cat. Now, listen, did you know there are people in McDowell County? They'd love to get in on what's going on here. Really? There's people all over this town. They'd like to become a part of this. They'd like to get in here. Man, you listen, folks. I tell you, we talk about revival a lot, and I boast, but I speak as a fool. So you listen. We talk about revival tonight. We talk about revival. Did you know, compared to the average church, we're in revival. We stay in revival compared to most churches you go to. Everybody, you people here said, boy, I'd like to see a revival. Man, we're seeing one now. Now, it's just not broke out like we'd like to see it. And you know, citywide, statewide, and countywide. But we've been in revival about it ever since we started. We don't really know how to appreciate. I mean, the average church, if they had somebody cry or wave their hand or holler or shout, one, they'd go home excited, tickled to death, say, boy, revival's broke out at our church. I tell you, you know what? Really, I'm telling the truth. I mean, if somebody got saved in most churches in McDowell County today, they'd go bragging all over the mill tomorrow, telling about great revival broke out of their church. But I tell you, brother, you know what? There's a lot of people who like to get in on this. They said, man, I'd love to be in that group. They act like they have such a good time, and they act like they love the Lord. Do you know what's the matter with them? They're afraid. They're afraid to be called a fanatic. They're afraid that somebody will say, you don't go up there, do you? You're not there. Ain't that them weirdos that go to the trade lot and preach? And they're afraid. They're afraid. They're fraidy cats. I mean, they may weigh 300 pounds and may be a tight end and may be able to tackle somebody, but they're fraidy cats. They fear the multitude. There'd be a lot of shouting right here around this street and up and down this county. If we just shut the lights out and moved out in the country somewhere. I've had them tell me that all the time. I met a guy out here one day, and he run a business close to here, and he said, Danny, why don't y'all go out? Many people, Jim's got in that church. Why don't y'all go way out in the country and buy you a big spot of land and build you a big church? And I said, because the Lord don't want us to. And he went, well, what? I mean, it looks like you'd hit him with a wet rag, man. And you say, why'd you tell him that? Because that's the truth. That's why the Lord don't want us to. I've wanted to many times. I rode all over the country hunting land. But the Lord just said, torment them. You know what the Bible said about the gates of hell not prevailing against the church? It don't say the church won't prevail against the gates of hell. We're attacking them, brother. We're on the offense. We're getting the sword. We're running back and saying, da-da-da-da-da-da, charge! Let's go! And if you're not a sissy, you might want to join up. Go down and enlist today. Become a, you know, become a Christian soldier for the glory of God. If you're not afraid of man, you must not be afraid of the multitude. About the afraidest. The afraidest I ever been of a multitude was in Myrtle Beach one time. Man, there is at least 150 demons per square foot. I kid you not. Have no idea why a Christian in the right mind would want to go there. Oh, my soul. Really? You say, I like the ocean, brother. I like sand. Lord, them demons. You can have them. You can have them. We went down there on the 4th of July. Me and Brother Lewis Justice and Brother Doug Willis. I think Brother Roger Mills. I think it's four of us. Them crazy nuts said, let's go down there for a missionary journey. I said, let's don't go there. They said, yeah, let's go. Come on. They ordered up a bunch of tracts. We was going to go down there and preach. And I said, now, come on, boys. You really believe the Lord's in this thing? They said, yeah, it's God's will. And I said, all right, I'll go. I didn't want to be, you know, make them think I was afraid to go. So I said, let's go. And so we went. We took my old van. We got down there. And that day, I prayed halfway down there. I used to go down there a lot before I got. I knowed what we was in for. And here we was out there, you know, with shirts on and pants and a tie. And, I mean, you talk about oddball. I mean, sore thumb, brother. You think that don't take some nerve? Here we go with our Bibles. So we had a big sign on the back of my van that said, Jesus is coming soon. Repent now. And it was on plywood about that high. And we stuck it up on the back of the van. And, you know, old place across the road there where all the hippies sat down through yonder and they sit up there and hang over there like a bunch of vultures looking at every girl that comes by. Amen. You know them old filthy, nasty, yeah, wicked, vulgar people that do stuff like that. Yeah. And, brother, they're sitting up there, just hundreds of them, brother, hundreds of them. I mean, and them stupid women were just putting them on a free show. Really. And it's, then when I guess they don't think they're pretty, so they have to take all the clothes off to get somebody to look at them. I mean, if you're pretty, you don't have to show everything you got to get a boyfriend. Or you must be awful unsure of yourself. And so there's a twisting down through there, and them old vultures going boom like that, you know. Eyeballs coming out. And boy, we got down there, and we said, boys, let's pray. And it was 95 degrees. And we got down there that day, and it was 95 degrees. About 195 in the van. We got down there and we said, boys, I ain't getting out of here. Let's pray. We got down in the van floor and prayed a while. And, oh, you talk about sweat. The rides was right here. Had that music a-blasting, so we had to roll the windows up. Hear us there pray. Oh, we like to cook in there. I thought we'd been swimming in our clothes, I guess. I think we finally took a towel, just had on a short-sleeved shirt. Man, we were soaking wet. We got out of there, and boy, I went... I bet you that's the biggest crowd of people I've ever seen in my life. That was the 4th of July, the bicentennial, 1976. They said there's more people in Myrtle Beach probably than ever been before. I mean, there's lining the streets, cases of beer on their shoulders, walking up and down the street. I mean, just so thick you couldn't. It's a lot thicker than this crowd here going down one side and this crowd here going down the other side of the street. And we were right in the middle of it. And I got up there that day and we gave out a few tracts. Out like this, you know, old Lewis standing right out in the middle of the road. They're just giving them right and left, just like that, you know. And we got down there, boy, and we was doing it back and forth, and I was getting sicker by the minute. Every once in a while, you'd see one of them boys run back to the van, get down on his knees for a little while, get all right with God again, come back out. I'll tell you, brother, we got out there for a while, and them boys said, let's go eat, I'm starving. And we was going to a steakhouse, and something inside of me said, nope, the workman ain't worthy of his meat because the workman ain't done nothing. And I said, wait a minute, boys. I got to preach first. They said, all right, you preach. We'll back you up. And I was at least 10,000 people right around us. And the last thing they was there for was to hear a preacher. I mean, that is the last thing. Some of them just left town to get away from people witnessing to them. They thought, boy, we're down here. They got fire on the side of their cars, you know, and big flames drawn on, you know, cars going down the street like this one. I don't see how they keep them falling out of them. It's like you're going downhill everywhere you go. Brother, they had them old souped up things and convertibles and Corvettes and Transams and Triumphs and all kinds of things. They was going around there. Brother, I thought they was tough stuff. So I got my Bible and I thought, here I go. Lord, I believe you saved me. And I believe what happened to me up there at Nebo Baptist Church was real. God, I want to try to do my best for you and be a witness. And I felt like Jonah in Nineveh. So we figured we'd get thrown in jail. We figured the law will get us. I mean, that's that, you can smoke pot, do anything like that you want to. But, I mean, you start preaching, you wind up in jail. And so, I mean, I even seen people doing a lot worse than just smoking pot. On the side of the road. And so I got my Bible and I opened it up and I said, boys, here goes. And I just kind of started talking like this. And I said, well, the Lord loves you folks and we're glad we're here today. And, you know, I didn't say thank you for inviting us and all this stuff. No, it sure is good to see you folks. And I tell you, Jesus loves you. And the next thing I knowed, I started getting louder. And the next thing I knowed, I started getting louder. And the next thing I knowed, I hit third gear. And the first thing I knowed, I was in full thing. I'm preaching a whole lot harder than I am right now. I mean, I just, and son, the Lord moved in. I ain't kidding you. The Lord moved in that place. God Almighty come into Myrtle Beach, brother. I mean, I don't know if John Jenrette and Rita Jenrette was there. And I don't know who was there. I don't know who all might have been there and who wasn't. Congressmen, senators. I don't know who might have been there. Playboys. But I tell you, the Lord was there that day. That old man sitting there. And those people were spellbound. They, some of them stopped and it made the rest of them just back up. And there's probably hundreds of people right around me in a big crowd. And them boys just started giving out tracts right and left. And son, I got in the glory almost. I ain't kidding. I tell you, God moved in on that thing. And I began to, it was almost as much liberty as they are in this church tonight. And I was just all up and I said, and the Lord loves you. And there's some of them old people over there saying, yeah, that's right, son. You tell them. I don't know what they're doing there. But I tell you, boy, they was over there and they was backing me up. And we had a Holy Ghost service right there, right in the middle, on the Grand Strand in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And but you say, was you scared of that crowd? You better believe I was. But I was more scared of God. I don't, boy, the Lord will take my life. If I'm ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of me. And I tell you, boy, I said, I don't want to be ashamed of the Lord. I don't want to be a sorry hypocrite. He carried a cross up for me up on an old hill one time. Let him put nails in his hand, strip him naked in front of a big crowd, and mock him, call him all kinds of names. I ain't gonna be ashamed of him in this wicked and adulterous generation. I tell you, if there's ever been a time, we ought to stand up and blow the trumpet and wave the banner and say we believe God. It's this day and time that we live in. You know why? They don't want it. Because they're living like the devil. We ought to let the light shine that much brighter. You know what happened after that? I got through, boy, and I felt wonderful. And we went to the steakhouse. I'd been up all day and hadn't eaten nothing and everything. I've had a headache, boy, and I was shouting. And there's four teenagers right behind us, two boys and two girls in the line at the steakhouse. And so I wanted to witness to them, so I turned around and said, y'all got an aspirin? I didn't know what else to say to start the conversation. And the girls started digging in their pocketbooks and everything. We got one somewhere. And I took it and said, y'all go to church anywhere? And we started talking to them. And they got under conviction in the line going through the steakhouse. Really? They was just like this. And the boy punched his girlfriend and said, this guy's for real. I don't know if they'd ever seen a real Christian before but not, or not. And they said, you really mean that, don't you? And I said, you better believe I mean it. I mean, we're not playing a game. This is real. There really is a God. Thank God He really is on the throne. And boy, they said, will you come over and talk to us at our table? And I said, I'd be glad to. I said, boys, you just pray for me. I'm going to go over here. And there's two girls, two boys. They're from Columbia, South Carolina. And then they was down at Myrtle Beach to have a big weekend. And they wanted to hear me tell them more about the Lord. And we sat down there and they finally brought my steak. And that's one steak I don't even remember eating. I just looked down a little while and it was gone. I so wrapped up in telling them about the Lord. And I told them, and they just sat saying, really? What does this mean? What's it? And their heart was opening up just like that. And I said, y'all want to come and pray and get this thing settled? And they said, yeah, where do we go? And I said, come right on out here. We crawled in the back of my van and got down in there. And they all got down. I got down. I showed them how to, and two of them got saved. Two of them had been saved, rededicated their life. And boy, the Lord moved in, and they was about to cry and hugging each other and said, we're going to go to church when we get back to Columbia. That all happened in a steakhouse, brother, and in the back of my van. And we got down, we had a prayer meeting in Myrtle Beach in the back of my van. Now, you know why? You know why? Because we finally decided you ought to fear God rather than fear man. You know what our flesh would say? Oh, there's a time and a place for everything. What an excuse. There's a time and a place for preaching. Yeah, all the time, every place. Amen. He feared the multitude. Oh, Herod was a fraidy cat. I mean, he's scared of what the crowd was going to say about him. That's why some of you won't visit. That's why you wouldn't give out a tract if your life depended on it. You say you don't feel led. You say you don't want to. You know, but I tell you what's wrong with you. You're scared. You say, well, Brother Danny, I can't help it. I am too. Go ahead and do it anyway. I saw, listen, if people out there ain't afraid to act like they're acting, I mean, ain't ashamed, we ought not be, Lord, help, don't worry about nobody thinking you're crazy. I seen a guy walking down the street today, and he had a stereo or something on his, somewhere here, and he had his headphone on, and you wouldn't believe this guy. I seen him kind of moving, I thought he was hitting mosquitoes or something. And he was trying to do some kind of dance. Really? And I got by him and looked in my rear view mirror. It was right out there about halfway through here in Sky City. And he was going down the street going. Really? That's what he was doing. I said, what an idiot. It's like a snake in his pants, bud. I don't know what in the world wrong with him. And I thought of... I thought about what I was going to preach about tonight, and I thought, if that ain't something, I mean, a man get out and walk down the street. I mean, these people are out running around loose. I mean, they're not in jail. They're not in Broughton. They're on the streets. And they fix, you ought to see how they fix their hair. My soul, it's crazy. And I thought, ain't that something? Ain't that something? Gotta get out and walk down the street like that, and we're afraid of what somebody gonna say about us. You don't have to worry about looking crazy in this generation, brother. Lord help! You talk about freaks, brother. I seen some creatures walking down Washington D.C. I don't know what it was. The truth. I seen something come down the street one night, and it was a woman, but it was a man. It looked like a woman some places. But I could tell it was a man. It's the truth. And he's walking down the street about 6'4". Walking down the street like this. I usually say, sir or ma'am, would you like to have a golf track? I just went, would you like to have one of these? And it went. Just walked right on by me. Out in public. I don't know. It's like Alice Cooper. He's a transvestite. Which is a man that can't figure out if he's a man or a woman. And he says, I'm a woman in a man's body, and he has himself changed and everything, and then he's a shim. That's right. After that, he don't know what he is. Just in case there's any like that here tonight, God didn't make Adam and Steve, brother. Amen. Amen. He made Adam and Eve. Did you know what they're doing now? You know what they're doing now? They're building fallout shelters by the thousands. People out west are going down under their houses and building steel vaults, man, and with big rocks and stone and putting up canned goods. They're afraid of the famine that's coming. They're afraid of nuclear war. And when nuclear war comes, they're going to all run down there in the bomb shelter and hide. And then when it's over, they're going to come back out. They're scared. Fear the multitude. If it's going to be that bad, I'd just soon go ahead and get blowed up. I mean, what are you going to do when that canned food wires out? Eat it all up. Eat radioactivity. The second thing I want to say about Herod tonight, and I'm going to have to move on right quickly. Not only did he fear the multitude, he was afraid of John. In Mark chapter 6, you'll see this. It covers the same story in Mark chapter number 6. And in Mark 6, it says in verse 20, you'll notice, for Herod feared John. Herod feared John. Knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. He watched him. He feared John because he knew John was right and he was wrong. He was under conviction. He had a bad conscience. And you know what? When sometimes you see a preacher and they just kind of scare you, you know what's a lot of times, you know what's the matter? You're under conviction. It bothers you. I went and knocked on people's doors and them say, "Oh no!" And them close the curtains, turn the TV off, get down in the floor. There he is! And I know they ain't scared of me as little as I am. Why are people afraid of a preacher? I've had people come to me saying, "Brother Danny, I got a big problem. I won't talk to you, but I'm scared of you." I don't know why they're scared of me for. I guess they think that we'll get back there in my office and I'll do to them like I do up here. The only thing I can figure out. I guess they'll think I'll get right on the face and I'll go, like that. But they're scared of it. It bothers them. I say, "I was afraid to talk to you about it." He feared John. He feared John because God was with John. He watched him. It bothered him when he saw that preacher. You know what? I had a lady tell me one time. She seen my old van I was telling about a while ago, parked up there beside the community building behind where the park is, over where the log cabin is one time. And she said she come down through there and saw my van that scared her to death. She said, I drove around the brother, and she said, "I just tore all to pieces." He feared John. He feared him. Let me say, number three, right quick. He was feared of his buddies. Afraid of his buddies. Look at Mark chapter 6 and verse 26. Mark chapter 6 and verse 26. "And the king was sorry, exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her." You see, old Herod got about half lit, and this little girl comes in and starts dancing in front of him. Now, you girls, that's why we don't like you to go to dances. The reason, you ought to have enough reason to be against dancing, because it doesn't cost one Baptist preacher his head. And that's enough reason right there. But anyway, she came in there and danced. Now, every time you get out and twist around and dance in front of some old men, they're going to be looking at you, and you're going to make them have bad thoughts. And so he had bad thoughts about this little girl. He said, "Come here, honey child. I'll give you anything up into the height of my kingdom." And she goes running over to her mother. And she says, "Mama, what should I ask? What should I ask?" And Mama, that old wicked woman, I mean that old wicked woman that let her girl dance, she said, "Get that preacher's head. I hate him. He preached to me so much I'm sick and tired of him. Get that John the Baptist preacher's head and bring it to me on a platter." And she went back and told the king, said, "I want John the Baptist's head." And the Bible said the king was sorry, but because he had done told her, and he was afraid of that crowd he was with, afraid of his buddies. I've had at least one person lately tell me, had a boy tell me the other night, he used to come here to church. He's on fire for God, and he's doing real good. You know what's wrong with him right now? He said, "I got to where I was losing my friends, and they didn't want to speak to me, and they didn't want to hang around with me." He's scared of his buddies. He's scared of his buddies. Some of you people, your friends will be in hell one of these days because you're afraid to witness to them. Your neighbors will be in hellfire, burning and screaming, because you didn't have enough nerve as a Christian to go and tell them about God. That's right. Teenagers, young people, we have that revival out there at the tent. One of our greatest objects of prayer is going to be the young people. Listen, there's been so many young people killed in McDowell County in the past several years. There's been 5, 10, 14, say 17 or 18 killed just in a few car wrecks. I don't know if you kids here tonight really mean what you're singing about "He lifted me out." But if He really did lift you out, you ought not to be ashamed to tell your friends at school that there's an old tent revival going on and you care about them, you want them to get saved. Let me tell you know what? I believe, I'm going to share a burden with you tonight. I believe if revival comes to McDowell County, it'll start in the McDowell High School through some local church. Virginia. You say, I may be wrong, I'm not saying it has, that's just my personal belief. I know what it was like when I got saved. I know what happened in Ebo High School in the revival I got saved in. And it very well may have to start right here in this room. I'll be teaching the teenage girls starting next week. And all you girls, I'll be teaching your class for several weeks like I did teenage boys here in a few weeks. But I'll tell you something. I'm praying that God will start something in the teenage girls' class beginning next Sunday that will spread up into this room and we'll get an East Junior High, West Junior High, McDowell High School, and brother, get some people saved. Start it about. And it can start right down there in that basement in the teenage girls' life. You know why the girls? Because if them girls ever get right, them old sorry boys will get right. A girl can get a boy to come to church. You say, that's a fleshly way to do God's business. Son, God can sure use it. I've seen him do it. He can do it. I've seen him. But you girls really get on fire, and you go to school, and you take your Bible, and you take some text, and you say, big boy, if you're going to be my friend, you're going to come to the tent revival. You say, well, they won't like me. Yeah, they will. They will. They'll like you no matter what you do. I mean, you got them whooped and don't realize it, you nut. I mean, you girls can do anything they'd like you. You don't have to bow down to their every whim. Don't listen to their little dumb threats saying, if you don't do this, they're lying through their teeth. You can wrap them around your little finger. Really? You can get them to do anything to use your head. You say, boy, I tell you what, I'm going to pray for my school, and I'm going to go to my school and be a witness. I wish just about four teenage girls in this church would absolutely, absolutely just get sold out to God, just so dedicated, just get on this altar and say, God, everything I am, everything I've got, it belongs to you. Don't be afraid of the crowd. You can win the crowd. You think it's... Do you think it, I was on the basketball team? I was in the high school. I had friends all over the high school, all over Maryland. You think it was easy for me when I got saved? Do you think it didn't hurt my feelings? You think they didn't laugh at me? People say, oh, Brother Danny, it's easy for you. I had my day, brother. They made fun of me. I've told you before, a bunch of new ones in here, so I'll tell you again right quick. I won't go the whole story. I've told you before about that time. You know, when I first got saved, I was afraid of my buddies. I could go to Morgan Witness, I could go to Hickory Witness, I could go to Ashland Witness, but I was scared to do it in Marion because I was afraid of what my friends would say about me. And some of you kids right here tonight, you love the Lord, you're a good Christian in your heart, but you got one problem. You're scared to death that somebody's going to think bad of you. But I got news for you. There's already somebody thinking bad about you. It's just who you want to think it. You got to choose. Somebody's going to either way. And you know what I done? I was scared to death about seeing something. I had this one friend of mine that was my best friend, supposedly. And these other guys I run around with all the time. We run around together constantly. And after I got saved, I didn't want them to know it. Really, I'm ashamed to admit that to you. But I thought, they'll think I'm a fanatic. And I was ashamed. And I had already heard that they said I wouldn't last 2 weeks. That's what they said. They said, he won't last. Old Castle got religion. You know, he'll never make it. But I tell you what, it scared me. And I told you before about how we went down there to have service in that little church down there in Morgan that night. We got out in the van and had a big prayer meeting. We come up off our knees on shouting ground. We said, glory to God, let's go find some sinners and witness to them. Let's go witness. Hallelujah. I'm ready. Boy, I got right in there that night. I was ready to do something for the Lord. And so we went over at Hardy's in Morganton. I said, son, I'm taking my Bible in here. I ain't ashamed of it. I was way down there in Morganton, you know. Didn't know nobody. I figured if people come in there, I'd just witness to them, never see them again. We got in there. There's about 7 of us. Somebody said, looky there! Oh. You could have knocked me over with a rag, brother. A big old bus pulled in, said McDowell High School. There's at least 250 on that bus, it looked like. And right behind it, man, was about 40 cars. Vroom, 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 cheerleaders. Yeah, come on, jumping off the bus. And I went, here I sit with my Bible. Oh, I could have died. I could have died. I felt like an idiot. And I'll confess something to you tonight. This may help some of you teenagers. If them boys hadn't have been with me, I know I'd have shot out the other door. But here's my Christian friends, and I said, ugh, I got to stand. Here come my friends. I saw them getting out. You know, they just look super bad when they've been to a ball game. They're all together, and there are gangs of them, mobs of them. I mean, they're out of a football game, and they're all coming into our life and hitting each other, you know, and their arms around their boyfriends and girlfriends and you know, the pom-poms and tennis shoes and duffel bags and all this. Now, I ain't been saved just a few months. And right then was a
was a major decision in my life. The Lord set me up that night. He done it. He tricked me. What a dirty trick he done on me. I thank God he did. He said, "All right, Brother Danny. You've been thanking me you're saved. Now let's see it, boy." I was scared to death. And that night, God done something in my heart. And I said, "I've got to make my stand one way or another, sooner or later." And I about started crying, I reckon. And I said, "Ain't gonna be easy. But there's one thing about it, I done live like they're living, and it ain't no good. They ain't fooling me with that big fake smile they got on. I know what I got's real." And I kind of said a quick prayer and said, "God, I believe what you done for me was real. And Lord, if you'll help me tonight, by the grace of God, I'm going to tell them." And that night, I set my friends down. And we'd have about four of them to one of us. We'd say, "Boys, you need to go to church and get saved." They'd say, "Oh, y'all don't even believe in this. Y'all don't believe in that. Y'all young's are crazy. Where's it say in the Bible this?" And they laughed at us. You say, "Didn't that embarrass you?" Why, sure it did. You say, what would you... "Well, you want to be a fraidy cat all your life?" I made up my mind. And you know something? From that day to this, son, some of them got scared that night. The Lord moved in there, and from that day to this, it's just been completely opposite. Now, when they see me coming, they go, uh-oh. They start running. Amen! I mean, you got to make up your mind who you're going to fear, God or man. You read the life of John Wesley, D.L. Moody, Praying Hyde, David Brandt, anybody who's ever amounted to a hill of beans in this world, I mean even in a secular world, anybody who's prospered or made a good living or made a fortune and fame, you know what they had to do? There come a time in their life when they didn't care what people thought about them. They just went ahead and pursued their goal. If you're always worried about somebody going to say this, and they might not like that, and my friends don't want me to, you'll never do nothing. You're like a pinball machine, brother. You're just like one of them balls. Bing, 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 bing. They just knock you around. I made my stand that night. And now, brother, when they see me coming down the street, they scatter. The tide's turned. I don't say, "Uh-oh, here they come." When I see one of them, I say, "Oh, boy. Look at who's here." You know what? Because I got a sharp, two-edged sword that they can't handle. And I just say, "Hey, boys, you know where you're going when you die?" And they'll kind of hang their head. Really, we shouldn't let them psych us out, you know it? We let them intimidate us. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. We shouldn't let them psych us out. We shouldn't feel intimidated and shy off into the corner around them. They should feel intimidated around us. I want to challenge you teenagers here tonight, saved by the grace of God. I'm going to fear God. I'm going to tire my school up for the glory of God. God Almighty started a fire in East Junior High, West Junior High. Son, it could change McDowell County. And if revival come to McDowell County, the businesses would start opening up. Unemployment would go almost out of existence. Our mountains wouldn't get burned up. Our kids would quit getting killed on the highway. If revival come to this county, brother, our unemployment problems would be over. Business would pick up. And every one of you would make $10,000 more a year, probably. I mean, when revival comes, everybody prospers in every other way. They won't. It won't in most counties cause a bunch of mealy-mouthed Christians too afraid to speak up for Jesus. Last thing I want to say tonight, and this is a bad part about this old boy. Not only was he afraid of the multitude, not only was he afraid of John, Paul, he was afraid of his wife. Mark 6:17. "For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison." Why? Because he wanted to? No. For Herodias' sake. He's scared of that wife. That man, he was a miserable wretch. He's scared of the buddies, scared of the crowd, scared of the preacher, and lo and behold, scared of his wife. He's one of these little old guys that, like a little push button model. He just went, like a little soldier, and he don't move till she pushes the button. He's scared of his wife. Now, you know, I believe you ought to treat your wife right and love her, and you and her make work together and make decisions together and all that stuff. But a man's pitiful, scared of his wife.